Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Lunch and Learn. We're picking back up from the second, the middle portion of Hodu. Again, last week we spoke about the first portion, some insights into the specific psukim that we recite, and some general thematic points as well. So we'll continue now from the middle, the second portion, and again, we'll just quickly run through the words translating as we go, and then after that, we'll dive a little bit deeper into a few of the phrases, the psukim that we read from. So the second portion starts out by saying the following. Hod v'hadar lefanav, od v'chedva minkomo. It says, glory and majesty are before him, might and delight, chedva is like delight or joy, are in his place. Havu l'Hashem mishbechos amim, bring unto or give to Hashem the family of people. Havu l'Hashem kavod va'oz, give to Hashem honor and might. Havu l'Hashem kavod shemo, give to Hashem honor worthy of his name. Se'u mincha uvau l'fanav, raise up, mincha is like an offering, like a korban mincha, uvau l'fanav and come before him. Hishtachavu l'Hashem behadras kodesh, bow down before Hashem, Behadras Kodesh, the beauty of his holy place, the resting place of his holiness. Chilu milafanav kol haaretz, the whole world trembles before him. Af tikon tevel bal timot. Indeed, tikon tevel bal timot. The world is very firmly established and set up, that so much so that it cannot fall or topple or crumble. Yismichu hashamayim v'sagel ha'aretz, the heavens will be glad or happy, and the earth will rejoice. V'yomru v'agoyim, and they will say amongst the nations, amongst the other nations, Hashem malach, Hashem is the king, Hashem reigns over the world. Yiram hayam lo'o, the sea will roar in its fullness. Ya'alot hasadeh v'chol hashavo, the fields, the earth will, everyone will, everyone or everything on those fields, on those plains will exalt Hashem. As yiranu atzei hayar, then the trees in the forests will sing joyfully. Milifnei Hashem, before Hashem. Kiva lishvot es aretz, because Hashem has come to judge the world. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, give thanks to Hashem because he is good. Ki liolam chazdo, forever. In his kindness he is enduring and good. V'imru hoshi'inu elokei yishinu, and we're going to say, save us Hashem, give us a Yeshua, a salvation, v'kabetzenu v'atzilenu min hagoyim, and gather us together and rescue us, bring us back from amongst the nations where we are dispersed and scattered. L'hodos l'shem kachecha, l'hishtabeach b'sihil asecha. Give thanks to Hashem, in order to give thanks to Hashem's name in his holiness, and to give glory and praise to Hashem. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam. Blessed are you Hashem, the God of the Bnei Yisrael, from this world into the next, into the world to come, into the Olam Haba. Vayomru kol ha'am, and all the nation, all the people are going to say, Amen, the Hallel l'Hashem. They're going to say Amen and give praise to Hashem. And then it concludes by saying, Romamu Hashem Elokeinu, exalt Hashem, our God, v'hishtachavu l'hadom raglov, and bow down at his, hadom raglov is his footstool or where his feet rest. Kadoshu, it is holy. He is holy. He is holy, rather. He is holy. Ramamu Hashem Elokeinu, exalt Hashem our God, v'yishtachavu l'har kadosho, and bow down at the mountain of his holiness. Ki kadosh Hashem Elokeinu, because Hashem our God is holy. So here's the second portion of Hodu. Some nice language, but let's get a little bit deeper into some of the specific phrases and figure out what we're trying to talk about here. So the first one I want to focus on is the following. We say a pasuk where we state that the whole world, chilu milafanav kol haaretz, the whole world is going to tremble before Hashem. Aftikon tevel baltimot. However, or even so, even though everyone's going to tremble, or everything is going to tremble, the world will never be toppled. It's firmly sort of ensconced, it's firmly established in an everlasting way. So the Radak points out that this is an example, and this is something that comes up throughout Tanakh and different psukim throughout scripture, that we see a lot of examples of human conflict or human sort of destruction taking place around the world. It happens to be, unfortunately right now, if you look in the world, the news, the headlines in the news, there is right now a human conflict taking place that affects many Jewish people as well in Ukraine. And this is only the most recent example of how human beings have a propensity and an inclination to be
violent and in conflict and create a lot of destruction, not just in terms of unfortunately, Rahman al-Atsan killing people, but also of causing physical destruction to the earth itself. So although the Radak points out, we see this throughout history, it's a repeating theme that there's going to be conflict and wars and people are going to be destroying the actual earth, the ground, the earth itself, Hashem basically makes a promise, a haftacha, he makes a declaration that the world is going to be enduring and everlasting and it's going to survive. How do we know this or where do we see this? So there are times throughout Tanakh, specifically in, let's say, the Sifrei Neviim in particular, where we talk about the future, Yemos Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, and the descriptions there are of a life that exists and continues on this world in particular. So the Radak points out that if you look at the sort of the broader picture, the grand scheme of human history and of natural history, the climax, the best part, the paradigm, the top part, the epitome of the existence of the natural world is going to be after Mashiach comes, in Yemos HaMashiach, and part of that sort of picture that we have of the future is including this world. So when we say Tevel Bal Timot, that Hashem basically confirms or really sort of implies to us in different words in Psukim that the world is going to be enduring. So although we might see a lot of death and destruction, unfortunately, going around us in a man-caused way, we should not be fearful. We should not think that the human race is going to destroy the world. Separate discussion about natural disasters, but right now we're talking about when human beings do things that are destructive to the world. We should not be afraid. We should be confident and sort of reassured by the fact that the Yemos HaMashiach, the epitome, the climax of the natural history of the universe, of the planet in particular, is going to come in the future, that we have a lot of very good years in Yirtzeh Hashem ahead of us in terms of how the world is and how the world will continue to exist. That's the first part I wanted to just focus on about the natural world, the natural earth itself. The next phrase I wanted to focus on is the very next phrase, Yismichu Hashamayim V'Sagel Haaretz. So we're told that the heavens will be glad, Yismichu, they'll be happy, Sameach, V'Sagel Haaretz. And the second half of the phrase is that the earth will rejoice, following off the previous point. So what does it mean that the earth is going to rejoice? What does it mean that the earth rejoices? Not really a living thing, it's inanimate in the first place, but also, why would the earth rejoice? What triggers that sort of rejoicing that the earth is doing? Or that the earth does? So, there's a comment made by Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch in his Siddur, and he says there the following. Whenever there's a discussion in the Psukim throughout Tanakh about human beings, Klal Yisrael in particular, returning to Hashem, Betshuva Shleima, right? We go through a repentance. If you read through all the Sifrei Neviim, it's an ever-ending cycle, basically, of like, Klal Yisrael sins, the Navi comes, we do tshuva, the Navi dies, eventually we start sinning again, and just on repeat, again and again and again. So there's this cycle, there's this pattern of human behavior that we go astray, we veer off the correct path, but we return, we come back, we're chozer b'tshuva, we come back b'tshuva shlema. Refer says that whenever the psukim describe the times when we're coming back b'tshuva, and in particular about the future, again, b'yemos HaMashiach, when everyone's living b'shlema, says as full of the Hashem with a very straightened sort of approach and path, the psukim also describe at the same time a flourishing of the natural world. Right, the psukim in Navi that describe Eretz Yisrael when the Jews come back from a galus into Geula, there's always descriptive language about how the earth itself flourishes. Some people point to the current agricultural success in Eretz Yisrael as a sign that it's a schalta de Geula. It's the early stages of a return of redemption from this final galus, because the psukim in Navi tell us that the earth is going to flourish when we're coming back to Hashem, when we're chozer b'tshuva, when we're being returned from an exile as a result of us being chozer to Hashem, going back to Hashem. And that the natural world is correlated in the sense that it responds directly and reacts directly to what's going on with the Jewish people and with the human race in general. So when it says in the Pasuk, it says, Yisrochu Hashamayim V'Sagel Haaretz, when's it talking about? It says that when we come back to Hashem, when we are coming back, either in a time of tshuva or even when we're coming back into geula from a galus, the earth itself rejoices, because it means, oh, now the earth's going to flourish. If it was barren, if it was desert, if it was a wasteland, it's going to come back with flowers and plants and trees, and the earth rejoices because it's so excited, it's so happy about the flourishing that's going to ensue as a result, as a direct result of the human return to Hashem, and in particular of the Jewish people. So, a little bit about about the natural world and how we're very much intertwined with the sort of the fate, so to speak, of the natural world based upon how we're behaving as the Jewish people collectively. One more point, and then we'll call it a day for today. So, a little bit later on, at the end of this section of Hodu, we say the following phrase. We say, Romamu Hashem Elokeinu v'hishtachavu l'hadam raglov. We say, exalt Hashem, our God, and we're going to bow down at his footstool, or the place where his feet rest. What's that talking about? So, again, Rav Hirsch has a comment there in the following way. First of all, just by way of simple pshat, it means the place in the physical world down here where there's Hasharas Hashchina, where Hashem's divine presence rests. The next part about Harkacho is probably referring to up at Shemayim where the rest sort of, kind of, quote-unquote, of Hashem resides. But right now we're talking about in the physical world down here on the earth where Hashem's presence rests. So we say we're gonna exalt Hashem, we're going to bow down, we're going to go serve Hashem at the place in the physical world where Hashem's presence rests, right? So Rav Hirsch makes the following point about that particular concept or the place of Hasharas Hashchina. So in this world, Hashem tells us in the Chumash, he says, V'yasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Make for me a mikdash, like a tabernacle. We just read the parshios of the Mishkan. And I'm going to reside and I'll live, I'll dwell, quote unquote, in that place. And that will be sort of the epicenter, the headquarters, the central hub, the nucleus of where Hashem's presence is most strongly felt. Obviously, we know Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. But there's a concentrated force of Hashem's presence in one particular physical place. And Hashem tells us, build it and I'll come. Like the movie Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. Hashem will come if we build the Mishkan for him. However, there is a caveat. In the Chumash, it also tells us, it says, Im b'chukosai seilechu. The word im, if we follow the chukei HaTorah, the chukim, those laws, meaning all the mitzvot of the Torah, then yeah, well, I'll come dwell with you and all the brachos that ensue from you doing the right thing. So we have this caveat. We have a place where there's designated concentration of Hashem's divine presence, of Hasharas Hashchina, but it's dependent upon our behavior and our actions, right? So some of us may be thinking, oh no, for thousands of years we have not had a Beis HaMikdash. What do we do? So, and also we don't really have ease of access to Har HaBayis, which maybe even missing the building, but the place itself. And obviously, not for now, but a discussion about whether we can even go halakhically and just also politically, it's not always so simple for us to go up there. So what do we do nowadays that we don't have the actual building, the edifice, or even really access to the geographic location of where the divine presence most concentratedly rests? So if you look in the footnotes of the English Art School Sitter, which is oftentimes very worthwhile to do. So there, the Art School Sitter tells us the following. It says that when it refers to that footstool, that place where Hashem's presence rests in the world, it is indeed talking about the Makom HaMikdash, or before that, the Mishkan. But we shouldn't be afraid, right? Because we know, we just don't have it anymore. Why should we not be afraid? So the Art School tells us the following. I'll read it out. This is already talking about when it was maybe even around still. The millions of Jews who cannot come to the Temple Mount need not fear that their prayers are in vain, because God is always merciful and ready to withdraw his anger in the face of sincere prayer. Though Israel may have suffered grievously in the many places of its dispersion, God avenges it and helps those who call upon him. So although we might not have an ability to go to the footstool, to the place in the physical world where Hashem's Shechina rests in its most heavily concentrated way, if we daven sincerely, and we make the same supplications, the tachanunim, the tefilos, the bakashos that we would make in that place as well, Hashem's always willing and able and ready to accept those prayers and to respond to those tefilos that we make in sincerity and our own earnest, real desire for the things that we're davening for. So although obviously there is a place where Hashem tells us, if you follow the mitzvos, I'll be able to kind of like come visit, so to speak, and you can come visit me on the Shal Shavelim, etc. But even in the absence of that place, or in the absence of the ability to go there, we should not be discouraged and not think that our tefillos are sort of lacking in effectiveness and power. They're still very easily and readily listened to and accepted by Hashem, and give a little bracha that in Yirat Hashem, based upon these chaburas that we have, as well as just our own growth in davening, we daven in a way that is both sincere and earnest, that Hashem listens to us and gives us all the appropriate responses to our tefillos in the future. Okay.